Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KALW's radio magazine of the performing arts. Now in a virtual edition, normally having guests that would be on the stages of San Francisco performing arts halls and theaters, but now having some guests by Zoom, including a new initiative that we started last week. We inaugurated Corona Radio Theater with Word for Word last week. Pleased to present this week the classic noir drama, Sorry Wrong Number, with actors from SF Playhouse. That'll be in the second half of the show. Also, a brief talk with Robert Kelly, the founding artistic director of TheaterWorks Silicon Valley, on how they're coping with COVID. And I'll talk with Riley Nicholson, project manager at the Center for New Music, about the activities of the center in these times of corona. Plus, I'll check in with composer Jake Heggie, who's featured on this week's edition of the NOE Music Listening Club, an initiative of Mina Bassin and Owen Dalby, who also joined me by Zoom. Stay with us. Well, you may have heard of NOE Valley Chamber Music, a concert series based here in San Francisco. The co-artistic directors are violist Mina Bassin and her husband and violinist Owen Dalby. In light of COVID-19, they've shifted their main focus from live concerts to their NOE Music Listening Clubs, deep listening experiences with extraordinary artists right in the comfort of your own living room. Now, even prior to this crisis, the listening clubs developed a few years ago as in-person chamber music book clubs, meeting once a month in a home in the NOE Valley neighborhood here in San Francisco. And on March 25th, they piloted a virtual format using Zoom and a high-quality live stream radio. Over 400 people have participated since, which has demonstrated a real thirst for rich, interactive musical experiences of this kind. Sessions have been planned through June, each featuring an extraordinary artist who guides audiences through a listening experience that is unique to their expertise and tastes. Owen Dalby joins me via Zoom to talk about the series. He's a highly praised violinist and was leading a rich musical life as a soloist, chamber musician, and new and early music expert, orchestral concertmaster, and educator. Now, he's still all of that, of course. But as a member of the St. Laura's String Quartet, in addition, he's anticipating a tour that may be on hold. Owen is also artist in residence at Stanford University. Welcome, Owen. There you are. Welcome, Owen.
Hi.
Hi, good to see you. Actually see and hear you. It's also a pleasure to welcome back composer and Lower Haight neighbor, Jake Heggie, to talk about his contribution to the series as well. In addition to 8 full-length operas, including the acclaimed adaptations of Dead Man Walking, Moby Dick, and It's a Wonderful Life, Jake has composed nearly 300 art songs, as well as concerti, chamber music, choral, and orchestral works. His recently completed Intonations, Songs from the Violins of Hope, was a dramatic song cycle which featured mezzo-soprano Sasha Cook and violinist Daniel Hope. Hi, neighbor.
Hey there. Good to see you again.
Indeed.
I'm with you anyway.
Yeah. And Owen, first let's talk about the NOE Music Listening Club and how it's adapted from its original conception some time ago.
Sure. Well, the idea of the Listening Club is something, as you mentioned, that's been percolating in our community for some years. The good friend of the series, Kai Christensen, who's well known in the Bay Area as a musicologist and pre-concert lecturer, had been giving presentations for small groups, 15, 20 people at a time in a home. And these would always be selections drawn from our upcoming live concerts. So for the really hardcore who wanted to come to everything, it would provide another opportunity to get deeper into listening, deeper into music. And that's really what Noe Music is striving to be about deep experiences with great chamber music, because it rewards that kind of attention and listening and detail. So moving the platform online, in addition to being the only thing we could do in this environment to keep some programming going, it also allows for that depth and repeated experience of listening that you can't get in a kind of concert hall format. We have such a wealth of recorded legacy to draw on, and that's kind of what we're leaning into. And with great friends of the series like Jake coming in to share what they know, how they've been influenced, and how we can appreciate their music all the more. So that's kind of the idea behind it.
Mm-hmm. And Jake, tell us, first of all, how are you and your family doing in this time of crisis? And how are you coping with the massive change in what must be a very robust schedule now interrupted?
We're doing fine. You know, we're very lucky. We live in a beautiful city and a beautiful place. And people overall, I think I find here are being very respectful of, you know, restrictions and so on. I'm a hermit anyway, as a composer, you know, I mean, I go to my studio alone. I spend a lot of my time alone anyway, but the hard part for this to me has been the distraction and the uncertainty out in the world that has been very unsettling to all of us. Yes, I've lost a lot of performances and teaching and things like that, productions, but, you know, things will come back at some point, but the uncertainty of that right now is what's really thrown everybody off. And I've managed to write a lot of music. I'm writing a new opera for Houston right now, that stars Jamie Barton and Golda Schultz and Jhené Bridges. And it's about, women spies in the Civil War in the South. It's called Intelligence. It's a really cool story, and it's going to have 8 singers and 8 dancers. So I've been lucky to sort of dive into that world, but, and otherwise we're taking really long walks in the afternoons all over the neighborhoods, getting to know new neighborhoods, streets, you know, waving to people from afar. But we've had such a gorgeous spring in San Francisco. That's also been very helpful. Nature continues to show off despite what we're going through.
Indeed. And it's extraordinary to me, with all the artists I talk to, how many are making lemonade out of lemons in terms of dealing, really using their creative spirit and their energy to make something positive happen out of all of this.
I'm actually also working on a new cycle for Jamie Barton, where we're taking texts from writers and colleagues all over the world about what they miss the most in this time. So that it will not only be a record of this time, but a warning for the future about what not to take for granted, which is really inspiring. Mm-hmm.
And what's your contribution for the Noe Valley?
Well, I've been involved with Noe Music since it began as Noe Valley Chamber Music, you know, a few decades ago. I've done several, when Karen Heather founded it all those years ago, and Owen and Mina took over a few years ago, and they've really reshaped it and updated it. And they invited me to come and talk about music that's really influenced me. Now, all of us as artists, we have influences and idols, but it's a rare chance to sort of acknowledge them. And so we're going to play excerpts from Debussy, Bartok, Britten, Poulenc, composers that are very important to me. And then I'm going to share a piece of mine that represents that influence and really take people through it by the hand, which I've never done that. And I'm really excited to do it. So I thank them for welcoming me in.
Nice. And Owen and Mina, anything else you'd like to share about the program itself that's coming up?
I'd just like to add that it's priced on a sliding scale. Normally the in-person events were $20 per head, but you can pay $0 if you like for the online Noe Music Listening Club, because we want this to be a very widely available resource for great deep listening as well as connection, that thing that we're all missing so greatly right now. So tonight's session is at 7 p.m. and there are still spots available. Believe it or not, you can find out more about it on our website, which is noemusic.org.
Fantastic. And we'll, of course, have a link to that at our website at Open Air. Thank you so much for taking a little bit of brief time to talk about this great series. And stay safe, and we will return at some point. And I'd love to have you in studio again.
Thanks, David.
Great to see you, David.
Here's music of Jake Heggie and more to come in terms of music and theater, including the live performance of Sorry, Wrong Number, the classic noir thriller, coming up on Open Air. Music of Jake Heggie from his work Camille Claudel, La Valse. A very good afternoon to you. I'm David Latulippe. Moving on with this jam-packed edition of Open Air, I've got guests from the Center for New Music. D. Riley Nicholson is a composer, pianist, and arts professional, has been commissioned by many groups. He's self-produced and toured nationally. In 2018, he was honored as a Distinguished Composer of the Year. He's currently working on a new piano duet for Sarah Cahill and Regina Minor. Myers, welcome back to Open Air, Riley.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Great to be here.
And Blaine Todd curates the Latitudes series, a program of Other Minds. Of course, Other Minds is a long-standing nonprofit dedicated to promoting the work of avant-garde composers from around the world through concerts, radio broadcasts here on KLW on Saturday, Friday nights at 9. And Blaine is a musician, curator, and arts fundraiser, currently the associate director of Other Minds. Welcome to you, Blaine.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me.
So how is the Center for New Music dealing with this crisis?
Well, as always, we want to be a space. Our motto is space for music to thrive. Of course, that space can't be physical right now, but we are trying in every way possible to still provide performance opportunities and provide new music for our community. But also we still want to be a place where people can come together and share resources, and a place where we can give support to our musicians. So we're still doing all of those things. But trying to find new pathways for that to happen. Tonight we're doing C4&M Encore Concerts, which Blaine is the curator for tonight's set. That's our digital programming, sort of from the Vault series. We've also launched a online Feldenkrais workshop, an emergency relief fund, and lots of other digital endeavors to just try to keep the new music community connected and strong as much as possible right now.
Uh-huh. And this is, of course, a challenging city to live in if you're a freelance musician and depending on that kind of income. How have people been affected that you've been working with, and are they finding the resources necessary to get by?
Yes. So we last month, we put out a survey to assess exactly, before we could act, we needed to know how are people hurting, what is the extent of the problem. So our survey had 425 participants, and those people reported 5,000 concerts canceled and counting, $1.5 million dollars lost already. And if concerts continue to be canceled, they reported that would be $4 million in lost revenue just from that participant sample. So if you extrapolate out, to the larger artistic community, one can see the real magnitude of the problem. Moving forward, we've really been overwhelmed by the support from donors and our community. Our board of directors launched a GoFundMe, and it well surpassed our expectations. And an anonymous donor reached out to us wanting to start an emergency relief program, which we've launched as of yesterday, available for 40 musicians, $250. So we are seeing our community really come together and be those who are able are being really generous, and a lot of safety net funds are popping up. So there is quite a lot of hope, both in terms of funding opportunities and also just community opportunities like what we're all launching and all here today, similar things, finding ways to connect and support each other.
Well, that's key, of course. Blaine, talk to us a little bit about the Latitude series of Other Minds.
Sure. Well, I started it late 2018, and I think for a lot of people, it maybe it's a little bit confusing. It's a Latitudes is a program of Other Minds, and Center for New Music has a curator series. They brought me on as a curator, and being somebody who's already affiliated with a music presenter, I thought I ought to do it under the umbrella of Other Minds. So it's an Other Minds program being presented at the Center for New Music. And my vision for it was to try to create a space where artists who are operating between, I would say, institutionally backed, sort of maybe more classical music, presented concerts, places that have built-in funding and built-in audiences, and then on the other hand, venues that are maybe more rock and roll or pop oriented. I think that there are a lot of musicians who are making really interesting, really vital music that doesn't necessarily find purchase in enough venues in and around San Francisco. I think that a place like The Lab is doing a great job of that. Land and Sea in Oakland is doing a great job of that. But still, there are so many independent underground artists who are touring and jumping in cars and driving across the country without the prospect of guaranteed fees. And so working for Other Minds, I felt that I was in a position to do something about that and offer some of these artists a guarantee and a platform from which to perform. And you know, there's obviously the culture of San Francisco has changed quite a lot over the last, I don't know, decade plus. And so these venues that are able to present this kind of music are just, they're very rapidly disappearing.
Well, it's going to be a challenge for, as I mentioned, for the gig economy musician to stay alive and flourish after this. So we wish you the best. And thank you for the efforts you're doing both for Other Minds and for the Center for New Music. Riley, as well, we'll be in touch and perhaps have you in studio before long.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being with us. I'd like to invite Robert Kelly to the conversation now. Robert Kelly is the founding artistic director of TheaterWorks Silicon Valley. He's been with the group for 50 years and at the Tony Award-winning company. Earlier this month, he celebrated the 50th birthday of the theater he founded as a young Stanford grad and is preparing to retire in this next month. Robert, welcome. And don't you want to stay on a couple more years so we can give you all a big hug and a goodbye party?
Thanks, David. It's nice to talk with you again. I'm retiring on June 30th, but I'm still going to be very active in TheaterWorks, and I hope in the greater Bay Area theater world as it moves forward. I'm not going anywhere. I'm healthy, and I'm still remember how to direct plays even after this crisis. We'll see how it goes.
Well, good. And tell us about there was a festival that was going to celebrate your legacy this coming June, but it's been put off a little bit.
Well, we were planning a big event, a big outdoor event in our area down here in the Silicon Valley for June 21st. titled Sunday in the Park with Kelly. And I was very flattered by that. But we feel that this giant gathering of the tribe that we had imagined to bring people together from 50 years of theater works would be best postponed. So we're going to do it more or less exactly a year later on June 20th of 2021. I'll still be here and it'll be a great celebration.
I'm sure it will be. And already wonderful plans, including It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play is planned for December. Let's hope things are back up and running in full steam by then.
Well, we really hope that'll be the case. We'd originally planned to do Sense and Sensibility, a musical of the Jane Austen novel in that time slot, but we're moving it a little bit later in the season so we can do It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play, which we think will bring a lot of happiness and excitement to the Bay Area and also give people a chance to think about someone coming back from the brink, someone that's been in trouble and has found a new way to make life work all over again. It's a perfect show for this coming holiday.
And we'll look forward to Sunday in the Park with Kelly down the road, Robert.
Thanks a lot.
And I believe we're working on Theater Works Silicon Valley for our radio drama series, Corona Radio Theater. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Sunday in the Park with George. We'll look forward to Sunday in the Park with Robert next year and wish him well as he goes through a different sort of retirement party this next month. We now continue with our Corona Radio Theater series with members of SF Playhouse performing the classic noir drama Sorry, Wrong Number. The scene, Mrs. Stevenson's bedroom. Expensive, rather fussy furnishings. A large bed on which Mrs. Stevenson, clad in bed jacket, is lying. A night table close by with a phone, lighted lamp, and pill bottles. A mantel with a clock. Closed door. A window with curtains closed. Mrs. Stevenson is dialing a number on the phone. She listens to the phone, slams down the receiver in irritation. As she does so, we hear the sound of a train roaring by in the distance. She reaches for her pill bottle, pours herself a glass of water, shakes out the pill, swallows it, then reaches for the phone again and dials nervously.
Operator, your call, please.
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 40098 now for the last three quarters of an hour, and the line is always busy. But I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
Murray Hill 40098. One moment, please.
Oh, I don't see how it could be busy all this time. It's my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I'm all alone here in the house. My health is very poor, and I've been feeling so nervous all day.
Ringing Murray Hill 40098.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, is Mr. Stevenson there?
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hello, George? Yes, sir.
Hello? Who is this? What number am I calling, please?
We've heard from our client. He says the coast is clear for tonight. Yes, sir. Where are you now? In a phone booth. Okay, you know the address. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer. Be sure that all the lights downstairs are out. There should be only one light visible from the street. At 11:15, a subway train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window is open and she should scream.
Oh, hello? What number is this, please?
Okay, I understand. Now make it quick. As little blood as possible. Our client does not wish to make her suffer long. A knife okay, sir? Yes, a knife will be okay. And remember, remove the rings and bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer. A client wishes it to look like simple robbery. Okay, I got...
Oh, how awful. How unspeakably...
Your call, please.
Operator, I've just been cut off.
I'm sorry, madam. What number were you calling?
Why, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 40098, but it wasn't. Some wires must have been crossed. I was cut into a wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful thing. A murder, and operator, you'll simply have to retrace that call at once.
I beg your pardon, madam. I don't quite...
Oh, I know it was a wrong number, and I had no business listening, but these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor, innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge, and we've got to stop them. We've got to.
What number were you calling, madam?
That doesn't matter. This was a wrong number, and you dialed it, and we've got to find out what it was immediately.
But, madam, I...
Oh, gosh, why are you so stupid? Look, it was obviously a case of some little slip of the finger. I told you to try Murray Hill 40098 for me. You dialed it, but your finger must have slipped, and I was connected with some other number, and I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again on purpose, why you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 40098 in the same careless sort of way.
Murray Hill 40098. I will try to get it for you, madam.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Murray Hill 40098 is busy.
Operator. Operator.
Yes, madam.
Why you didn't try to get that number wrong at all? I asked explicitly, and all you did was dial correctly.
I am sorry. What number were you calling?
Can't you for once forget what number I was calling and do something specific? Now, I want to trace that call. It's my civic duty. It's your civic duty to trace that call and to apprehend those dangerous killers. And if you won't...
I will connect you with the chief operator.
Please.
Miss Curtis, will you pick up on 17, please? Yes, dear. What's the trouble? Somebody wanting a call traced. I can't make head nor tail of it. Sure, dear. 17. This is the chief operator.
Oh, chief operator, I want you to trace a call, a telephone call, immediately. I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it is absolutely necessary that it be tracked down because it was about a murder. Yes, a terrible, cold-blooded murder of a poor, innocent woman tonight at 11:15.
I see.
Can you trace it for me? Can you track down those men?
It depends, madam.
Depends on what?
It depends on whether the call is still going on. If it's a live call, we can trace it on the equipment. If it's been disconnected, we can't.
Disconnected?
If the parties have stopped talking to each other.
Oh, but of course they must have stopped talking to each other by now. That was at least 5 minutes ago, and they didn't sound like the type who would make a long call.
Well, I can try tracing it. Now, what is your name, madam?
Mrs. Stevenson, Mrs. Albert Stevenson, but listen.
And your telephone number?
Plaza 42295. And if you go on wasting all this time...
And what is the reason for wanting this call traced?
My reason? Well, for heaven's sake, isn't it obvious? I overhear two men, they're killers, they're planning to murder this woman. It's a matter for the police.
Have you told the police?
No, how could I?
You're making this check into a private call, purely as a private individual?
Yes, but meanwhile...
Well, Mrs. Stevenson, I seriously doubt whether we could make this check for you at this time, just on your say-so as a private individual. We'd have to have something more official.
Oh, for heaven's sake, you mean to tell me I can't report a murder without getting tied up in all this red tape? Why, it's perfectly idiotic. All right, then I will call the police. Ridiculous.
Your call, please.
The police department, please.
Ringing the police department.
Police department.
Police department. Oh, this is Mrs. Stevenson. Oh. Mrs. Albert Smith Stevenson of 53 North Sutton Place. I'm calling up to report a murder.
Huh?
I mean, the murder hasn't been committed yet. I just overheard plans for it over the telephone, over a wrong number that the operator gave me. I've been trying to trace down the call myself, but everybody is so stupid. And I guess in the end, you're the only people who could do anything.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a perfectly definite murder. I heard their plans distinctly. Two men were talking, and they were going to murder some woman at 11:15 tonight. She lived in a house near a bridge.
Yes, ma'am.
And there was a private patrolman on the street. He was going to go around for a beer on 2nd Avenue. And there was some third man, a client who was paying to have this poor woman murdered. They were going to take her rings and bracelets and use a knife. Well, it's unnerved me dreadfully, and I'm not well.
I see. When was all this, ma'am?
About 8 minutes ago. Oh, then you can do something. You do understand.
And what was your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Stevenson, Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your address?
53 North Sutton Place. That's near a bridge. The Queensboro Bridge, you know, and we have a private patrolman on our street. And 2nd Avenue is...
And what was the number you were calling?
Murray Hill, 40098. But that wasn't the number I overheard. I mean, Murray Hill 40098 is my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I was trying to reach him to ask him to come home. And I'm an invalid, you know, and it's the maid's night off, and I hate to be alone, even though he says I'm perfectly safe as long as I have the telephone right beside my bed.
Well, we'll look into it, Mrs. Stevenson, and see if we can check it with the phone company.
Oh, but the telephone company said they couldn't check the call if the parties had stopped talking. I've already taken care of that.
Oh, yeah?
Personally, I feel that you ought to do something more immediate and drastic than just check the call. What good does checking the call do if they've already stopped talking? By the time you track it down, they'll already have committed the murder.
Well, we'll take care of it, lady. Don't worry.
I'd say the whole thing calls for a search, a complete and thorough search of the whole city. I'm very near a bridge, and I'm not very far from 2nd Avenue, and I know I'd feel a whole lot better if you sent around a radio call to this neighborhood at once.
And what makes you think the murder's going to be committed in your neighborhood, ma'am?
Oh, I don't know. The coincidence is so horrible. 2nd Avenue, the patrolman, the bridge.
2nd Avenue is a very long street, ma'am. And do you happen to know how many bridges there are in the city of New York alone, not to mention Brooklyn, Staten Island, Queens, and the Bronx? And how do you know there isn't some little house out in Staten Island on some little 2nd Avenue you never heard about? How do you know they were even talking about New York at all?
But I heard the call on the New York dialing system.
How do you know it wasn't even a long-distance call you overheard? Telephones are funny things. Look, lady, why don't you look into it this way? Supposing you hadn't broken in on that telephone call. Supposing you got your husband the way you always do. Would this murder have made any difference to you then?
I suppose not, but it's so inhuman, so cold.
A lot of murders are committed in this city every day, ma'am. If we could do something to stop them, we would. But a clue of this kind, that's so vague, isn't much more use to us than no clue at all.
But surely...
Unless, of course, you have some reason for thinking this call is phony, that someone might be planning to murder you.
Me? Oh,
No, I hardly think so. I mean, why should anyone? I'm alone all day and night. I see nobody except my maid, Eloise, and she's a big 200-pounder. She's too lazy to bring up my breakfast tray. And the only other person is my husband, Albert, and he's crazy about me, adores me, waits on me hand and foot. He's scarcely left my side since I took sick 12 years ago.
Well, then there's nothing for you to worry about, is there? And now, if you'll just leave the rest of this to us.
But what will you do? It's so late. It's nearly 11 o'clock.
We'll take care of it, lady.
Will you broadcast it all over the city and send out squads and warn your radio cars to watch out, especially in suspicious neighborhoods like mine?
Lady, I said we'd take care of it. Just now, I got a couple of other matters here on my desk that require my...
Idiot! Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Why did I do that? Now he'll think I am a fool. Oh, God. Why doesn't Albert just come home? Why doesn't he... Oh.
Your call, please.
Operator, for heaven's sake, will you ring that Murray Hill 40098 number again? I can't think what's keeping him so long.
Ringing Murray Hill 40098.
I can hear it.
The line is busy. Shall I?
I can hear it. You don't have to tell me. I know it's busy. If I could only get out of this bed for a little while. If I could just get a breath of fresh air or just lean out the window and see the street. Oh. Hello? Hello, Albert? Hello? 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 Oh, what's the matter with this phone? Hello? Hello? Oh, for heaven's sake, who is this? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Your call, please.
Hello, operator. I don't know what's the matter with this telephone tonight, but it is positively driving me crazy. I've never seen such inefficient, miserable service. Not now. Look, I am an invalid. I'm very nervous, and I'm not supposed to be annoyed, but if this keeps up any much longer...
What seems to be the trouble, madam?
Well, everything's wrong. The whole world could be murdered for all you people care, and now my phone keeps ringing.
Yes, madam.
Ringing and ringing and ringing every 5 seconds or so. And then when I pick it up, no one is there.
I am sorry, madam. If you will hang up, I will test it for you.
I don't want you to test it for me. I want you to put through that call, whatever it is, at once.
I'm afraid that is not possible, madam.
Not possible? And why, may I ask?
The system is automatic, madam. If someone is trying to dial your number, there is no way to check whether the call is coming through the system or not. Unless the person who is trying to reach you complains to his particular operator.
Oh, well, of the stupid complicated. I mean, and meanwhile, I've got to sit here in my bed, suffering every time that phone rings, imagining everything.
I will try to check it for you, madam.
Check it! Check it! That's all anybody does of all the stupid, idiotic... Oh! Oh. Hello? Hello? Stop ringing, you hear me? Answer me, what do you want? Do you realize you're driving me crazy? Stark raving.
Hello, is this Plaza 42295?
Yes, yes, this is Plaza 42295.
This is Western Union. I have a telegram here for Mrs. Albert Stevenson. Is anyone there to receive the message?
I am Mrs. Stevenson.
Well, the telegram is as follows. Mrs. Albert Stevenson, 53 North Sutton Place, New York, New York. Darling, terribly sorry. Tried to get you for last hour, but line busy. Leaving for Boston 11 p.m. tonight on urgent business. Back tomorrow afternoon. Keep happy. Love, signed, Albert.
Oh, no.
That is all, madam. Do you wish us to deliver a copy of the message?
No. No. Thank you.
Thank you, madam. Good night.
Oh, good night. Oh, God, no. It isn't true. He couldn't do it. Not when he knows I'll be all alone. It's some trick, some fiendish. Fiendish.
Your call, please.
Operator, try that Murray Hill
40098 number for me just once more, will you?
Ringing Murray Hill 40098.
How could you? Oh gosh, I can't be alone tonight. I can't be alone for one more second. I don't care what he says or what the expense is. I'm a sick woman. I'm entitled.
This is information.
I want the telephone number of Henschley Hospital.
Henschley Hospital? Do you have the address, madam?
No, it's somewhere in the 70s, though. It's a very small, private, and exclusive hospital where I had my appendix out 2 years ago. Henschley. H-E-N-C.
One moment, please.
Please, hurry. And please, what is the time?
I do not know, madam. You may find out the time by dialing Meridian 71212. Oh,
heaven's sake, couldn't you just tell me?
The number of Henschley Hospital is Butterfield 71105.
Butterfield 70105. It's Butterfield 70105.
Henschley Hospital, good evening.
Oh, nurses registry.
Who was it you wish to speak to, please?
I want the nurses registry at once. I want a trained nurse, and I want to hire her immediately for the night.
I see. And what is the nature of the case, madam?
Nerves. I'm very nervous. I need soothing and companionship. My husband is away, and I'm...
Have you been recommended to us by any doctor in particular, madam?
No, but I really don't see why all this catechizing is necessary. I want a trained nurse. I was a patient in your hospital 2 years ago, and after all, I do expect to pay this person.
We quite understand that, madam, but registered nurses are very scarce just now, and our superintendent has asked us to send people out only on cases where the physician in charge feels it is absolutely necessary.
Well, it is absolutely necessary. I'm a sick woman. I'm very upset. I'm very alone in this house, and I'm an invalid. And tonight, I overheard a telephone conversation that upset me dreadfully about a murder, a poor woman who is about to be murdered at 11:15 tonight. And in fact, if someone doesn't come at once, I'm afraid I'll go out of my mind.
I see. Well, I'll speak to Miss Phillips as soon as she comes in. And what is your name, madam?
Miss Phillips, and when do you expect her in?
I really don't know, madam. She went out to supper at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? But it's not 11 yet. My clock has stopped. I thought it was running late. What time is it?
Just 14 minutes past 11.
What was that?
What was what, madam?
That click just now, in my own telephone, as though someone had lifted the receiver off the hook of the extension of the phone downstairs.
I didn't hear it, madam. Now, about this nurse.
There's someone in the house, someone downstairs in the kitchen, and they're listening to me now. They're... Oh, gosh, I won't pick it up. I won't let them hear me. I'll be quiet, and they'll think... But if I don't call someone now, they're still down there, but there'll be no time. Oh, gosh.
Your call, please.
Operator, I'm in desperate trouble.
I cannot hear you, madam. Please speak louder.
I don't care, dear. I think there's someone listening. Can you hear me now?
Your call, please. What number are you calling, madam?
You've got to hear me. Oh, please, you've got to help me. There's someone in this house, someone who's going to murder me, and you've got to get in touch with them. Oh, there it is. He's putting it down. He's put down the extension. He's coming. Ah! He's coming. He's coming up the stairs. Oh, gosh. Give me the police department. Ah! Ah! The police department.
Ringing the police department.
Precinct 43, Duffy speaking. Police department, Duffy speaking. Sorry, wrong number.
Lucille Fletcher's Sorry Wrong Number. Performed by members of the San Francisco Playhouse. Susie Damilano, co-founder and producing director, as Mrs. Stevenson. Co-founder and artistic director of the San Francisco Playhouse, Bill English, all male voices. And Vera von Wolfen, marketing associate and actor, last seen in the San Francisco Playhouse production of Born in East Berlin, part of the Sandbox series. All female roles in that classic drama. Made famous on the stage by Agnes Moorehead, then starring Barbara Stanwyck and Burt Lancaster in the 1948 American thriller film noir, directed by Anatole Litvak. Orson Welles called Sorry Wrong Number the greatest single radio script ever written. Presented here as our second edition of Corona Radio Theater as part of Open Air. A very good afternoon to you. Once again, I'm David LaTulipe, now joined by those co-artistic directors of San Francisco Playhouse, Susie Damilano and Bill English. Welcome back to our airwaves, Susie and Bill.
Yeah, it's great to be back in a very different form.
Well, hi, David. Thank you so much for your contribution to this program. This was fantastic. I think people really responded to it. I had several calls from people looking forward to today's performance, and I think you guys just knocked it out of the park.
Wow. I hope everyone had as much fun listening as we had doing it. There's nothing like suffocating yourself.
And Vera von Wolfen, I don't know if she's still on the line, but Vera, congratulations also on a super performance.
Thank you so much, David. It was a lot of fun.
Well, this is all very timely. I think you chose a very timely piece for Corona Radio Theater. People are stuck within their own four walls and kind of dependent on technology for their way out.
Yeah, it seemed kind of timely to us. We've been thinking about it. We actually even sort of considered doing it in our season, this upcoming season, but a little short for a full night's entertainment, you know, and it was when the idea, when you brought up the idea of radio theater, it was the first thing that came to mind.
Well, I think we have a mine full of works that could be possible for this.
Definitely. You've got our minds reeling. So anytime you want us back, let us know.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Lucille Fletcher, the author of this. This was really something that she was gifted at doing, part of the original suspense radio program back in 1943. And again, as I mentioned, Agnes Moorehead, who reprised that seven times afterwards. Lucille Fletcher actually married to the composer Bernard Herrmann for 9 years, and Herrmann provided a lot of the music for the series.
Agnes Moorehead toured that show all over the country for years. You know, became a real thing for her.
Mm-hmm. And again, Orson Welles calling it the single greatest radio script ever written, and it really does resound.
Fantastic.
So tell us how the Playhouse is dealing with the crisis.
Well, we're closed like most theaters and kind of, you know, in the dark. I like to describe it as being in a boat on a cloudy sea with no compass and no map. So, you know, struggling to find out what to do. We're providing some online stuff. I'm doing these fireside chats every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Shameless plug, tonight at 7, we'll have Lauren Yee, who just won the Drama Desk Award in New York for Cambodian Rock Band. And, you know, her show King of the Yees was a hit for us last year and just won about 7 Bay Area Critics Awards. So we're doing that. And then we're also going to start up a little series of Zoomlets, I'm calling them, which are sort of 2- and 3-person plays that are going to be led by a director. So the director will speak a moment about the play, and then we'll hear two actors read, and then the director and the actors will talk about it a little bit after. So it's kind of like going to being on the fly on the wall at a first reading.
Nice. And of course, the Empathy Gym is now less sweaty, at least person to person. It's by Zoom, I imagine.
Yeah.
Joining the Empathy Gym.
Yeah. To join us now, you do it. Well, we will tune in with Zoom, but we've made watching it much easier. You just click on a YouTube link that you can get on our
website. And if you are Facebook friends with us, we'll post it there. We tweet about it. It makes it a lot easier to listen to if you just click on YouTube.
And we'll have links to that at our website, to SF Playhouse and everything you guys are doing. Stay well, stay healthy, and we do look forward to something more than a virtual hug sooner than later.
Please. Oh. That would be, we are looking forward to that, David.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
You guys take care.
All right, bye-bye.
More radio drama on the way here on Open Air. Next week, we'll be presenting something from The Marsh. On the 21st, Word for Word in their second appearance on Corona Radio Theater. The folks from ACT will be at the end of the month on the 28th, and then Theater Rhinoceros on the 4th of June. Not only that, but we've also pushed into June with the South Bay Musical Theater coming on the 11th of June. And of course, here on KALW, we have LA Theater Works every Friday evening from 9 to 11. It's a very musical birthday for this May 7th. Composers Brahms and Tchaikovsky were both born on this date. Brahms in 1833, Tchaikovsky in 1840. The composer Marcel Poot was born on this date. Beethoven's Ninth Symphony was performed for the first time in 1824. Glenn Miller and his orchestra recorded Chattanooga Choo Choo on this date in 1941. Aretha Franklin recorded a live album in Paris. And Bob Dylan sold 90,000 tickets in less than 8 hours for concerts that were going to take place at London's Wembley Empire Pool. To go out with today, how about a little bit of music of Johannes Brahms? Music of Johannes Brahms from his Fourth Symphony, the Third Movement. Happy birthday, Johannes, as well as Piotr, born within 7 years of each other, 1833 and 1840, respectively. I'm David LaTulipe, trying to make artistic lemonade out of lemons, and I'm having great fun doing so with the assistance of the amazing arts community here in San Francisco. And as always, my thanks to Neil Swinkles for producing the show. They're archived at kalw.org. Some of the Corona Radio series dramas will not be able to be heard online, but we'll post the rest of the shows. And as always, you can email me to david@kalw.org if you've got a show suggestion or want to talk to me about how you're coping in this COVID-19 crisis on the artistic front. I welcome those emails and comments. Thanks for listening.